Thank you, Bill.
Can I borrow your pen real quick? Can you carry one of these?
Good evening. This is the first time I've ever had the opportunity to preach an Easter sermon. I was kind of torn about how to do it. What should I bring? But I hope I got some thoughts here that will touch your heart maybe and help you think about the sacrifice. You know, as some of us said this morning during our sacrament service, you know, you can't think of a more appropriate way to celebrate the resurrection of Christ than renewing your covenant with Him. But I'll do my best to bring some thoughts to you tonight. I'm going to start with my first scriptural. It's pretty common one. I think we all probably know it. It's in the 3 Corinthians, chapter 2, in the first verse. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that in the fourth month, in the spring of the year, the bunny of Easter did go through the land, laying its brightly colored eggs. And this was gave much joy throughout all the land among all the people." The true story of Easter. Right? Yeah, you know, I'm not being serious with that. Just want to make sure you're awake and listening. The real story I want to bring. It's kind of long, but we'll get started here. It shouldn't take us too long to get through it. In Genesis, in the first chapter, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know what? This is going to be an awful long reading. So I'll just try and hit the highlights. You guys can help me out too if you want. In the garden, God created a Garden of Eden. And everything that could be desired to make you happy was in that garden. And God created a man named Adam. Someone that he could talk to, converse with, walk through the garden with. And they did for a while, and then God noticed that, you know, Adam's kind of lonely. He needs somebody special with him. So God created Eve. And they lived together for quite a while there in the garden. Everything was hunky-dory. And time passed. And then one day, walking through the garden, they meet the old serpent. We all know what happened next. What happened? Mark.
He told them that they could eat the fruit, and
they
wouldn't die.
And they did. What? They ate the fruit. They sinned. The one thing that God told them not to do, they did. So, they get kicked out of the garden. They get evicted. And there's an angel set there to guard the way so they can't get back in. They're cast out of the presence of God. They don't have him to walk around with anymore, talk to. They're on their own. Well, time passes. And a man named Abraham comes along. He lived where? Anybody? There we go. I'm going to keep you guys awake. There's Abraham living in Ur. God comes down to him. Abraham's a righteous man. Lives a righteous life. God comes down, he says, "I'm going to bless you. All the world is going to be blessed from you." And he leads him to a land that God's going to give him. And he gives him a son after 100 years of not having any children. A son. His name is Isaac. And Isaac is a good son. And God tells Abraham, I blessed you with a child. And now I want him back. And he tells him to go up to this mountain, which happens to be in modern-day Jerusalem. As we learned from Gordon's study last weekend. He says, I want the son back. I want you to give him back to me. Abraham says, okay, you've been wonderful to me. You know, you gave him to me, and now I'll give him back. He submitted his will. And we know the story. What happened with Isaac and Abraham? There was a goat that was there. And the hand of the angel stayed the hand of Abraham so he didn't kill his son. But Abraham was willing. He had given his will to whatever God had desired of him. And his people were given that special promise. And that promise went through Isaac. That promise went through Jacob. And Jacob had how many sons? 12. Okay. It's going to be a long night if you don't answer questions. And one of his sons was Judah. And that special promise came through Judah as well. But along the way, he also had a son named Joseph. He was his favorite. And he had a nice jacket that made the rest of the brothers jealous and had some dreams that the brothers didn't like. So they sold him into Egypt. And years later, when there's a famine in the land, there's no food to eat. For all that time, God's been with Joseph. And he's given him a position of power because Joseph was a righteous man. He fled evil. And God blessed him financially and spiritually as well. And through Joseph, the house of Israel was saved from being starving to death, basically. So they lived in Egypt for a while. 400 years, was it? And then it was time to... They went from being taken pretty good care of there in Egypt to being slaves. And the time came when God says, it's time to go. And he touched a man's heart. And what was his name?
Moses.
There we go. We're getting there. And came to Moses in a burning bush and told him that, I want you to lead my people out of here. It's time for them to go home to their promised land. Land which they'd been set aside to Abraham. So the Egyptians weren't real keen on the idea. And they went through several plagues. And the last one, what was the last plague?
Death.
Firstborn. The angel of death was sent from God. And in order for the house of Israel to escape the angel of death, what did they have to do? They had to put the blood of a lamb on their doorpost. It was they initiated the Passover, that the angel might pass over their door. And they stayed in all that night. And it became one of their high holy days, I guess is what they're called. So they leave Egypt. And they're a strong-willed people. And there's a lot of them. And the Lord gives to Moses a law. It's called in the New Testament a schoolmaster. Because it's strict. It's very rigid. It requires absolute obedience in rites. That you had to do certain things in certain ways and wear certain things and act certain ways. And because of their own stubbornness, it took them 40 years to get from Egypt to Canaan as they wandered around. Because they all had to die before they could get there because of their sin. They came to the promised land, Canaan. And the people that were there, that God had already blessed, people that were in the promised land that had rejected God, they came to conquer them. And they conquered the land of Canaan. They went up under Joshua, they came through and conquered everything, and they divided up the land into the tribes and set up judges, and they had ruled for a while with judges. And all of a sudden, everybody else around them had kings, and they decided they wanted a king. So who did they decide that they wanted to be king?
Saul.
And Saul wasn't the best guy around, was he? He made some mistakes. Enough mistakes that the God said, "You're no longer anointed to be king." And he anointed somebody else to be in his stead. And who was that?
David.
Aren't you glad I'm not reading this whole thing? Good. David, the little young man that slew the giant, Goliath, had great faith. He was a man after the heart of God. Truly a hero for the young people to look up to emulate. But David wasn't perfect either. And because of that, his kingdom was taken from him for a while. Lost all his possessions. Some of his children. And the kingdom passed on to Solomon. And he built a temple to God in Jerusalem, where they could perform their law, their sacrifices. Well, that didn't last long because of Solomon's sins, and it split. Northern kingdom and southern kingdom. And northern kingdom was taken over by the Assyrians, and after a little bit later, the southern kingdom was taken by the Babylonians. And they were brought back shortly thereafter. It wasn't too long, but they didn't really rule themselves ever again. They were always under somebody else's rule. There were short times, but not anything long. But time passed again. A long time. And eventually, the time was right. The people were right. The prophecies were about to be fulfilled. A man named John the Baptist went through the land, preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And there's a little baby born. Not by a man and a woman, but by God and a woman. The Son of God. I got a list of just some of the prophecies that he fulfilled in his life that Jesus Christ fulfilled. He was born of a woman, according to Genesis 3:15. He was the seed of Abraham to fulfill Genesis 12, 2 and 3. He was also the seed of Isaac, Genesis 21. He was the seed of Jacob, Genesis 28. He was of the tribe of Judah, Genesis 49. He was of the house of David, from Psalms 89. He was born of a virgin, Isaiah 7. He was called Emmanuel, also Isaiah 7. He was the Son of God, Psalms 2. He was sinless, Isaiah 53. He was holy and just, Zechariah 9 and 9. The Spirit of God upon him, Isaiah 42. He bore his reproach with silence when they accused him, Isaiah 53. He interceded for the transgressors, for the sinners, Isaiah 53. He was born at Bethlehem, Micah 5. He traveled in Galilee, Isaiah 9. He was introduced by John the Baptist to the people, Isaiah 40. He delivered people from the captivity of sin. Isaiah 61. He taught in parables. Psalm 78. He rejected by the Jews. Isaiah 53. He was hated without cause. Isaiah 69. He was disbelieved by many. Isaiah 53. Stone of stumbling. He was a rock of offense. Isaiah 8. He is rejected by the rulers of the land. Psalms 118. He had a triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Zechariah 9. He was betrayed by a friend. Psalms 41. He was forsaken by the apostles for a time. Zechariah 13. He was sold for 30 pieces of silver. Zechariah 11. And a potter's field was bought with that betrayal money. That's also Zechariah 11. He was smitten on the cheek. Micah 5. Tortured and spit upon. Isaiah 50. They cast lots for his clothes. Psalms 22. He was mocked and taunted. Psalms 22. He was given vinegar to drink. Psalm 69. Those are just some of the prophecies that he fulfilled in his life. And all that history, down to that point, was for us. The whole plan was in place back in Genesis 1:1 and before. That's what he came for, and that's what he came to do. So that brings us down to the scripture I'd like to read tonight. Really, this time. Matthew in the 27th chapter. This is after Christ had been betrayed, after he'd been taken into custody by the priests, by the soldiers, and taken to Pontius Pilate. And Pilate had questioned him and didn't really find anything wrong with him. And they were trying to decide who they were going to release for the festival of the Passover, what prisoner they were going to release. In the 22nd verse, Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the question we each have to ask ourselves. What are we going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? The thousands of years of history that I just covered in 15, 20 minutes was for you. It was for me. It was all part of the plan. The thousands of people that came and went, the centuries that came and went, the examples that were given, the scriptures that were written, the sacrifice that was made was for you. It was for me. Pilate's wondering, what do I do with this guy? There's nothing I can find wrong with him. But the high priest had sufficiently deluded the people and convinced them that he needed to be crucified. So that's what they did. They crucified him. What shall we do with Jesus? What am I going to do with Jesus? It's called the Christ. I have that same decision to make. Do I say that all the history, all the prophecies fulfilled? Say no thanks. We have a choice. We can crown him or crucify him. We crown him by saying, Lord, you're my sovereign. You're my king. I'll do whatever you say. We're crowned him by living the doctrine that he gave. In Matthew 27, they're talking about the physical body. But we're talking about his doctrine. His example. His gift to us of the plan of salvation. When he was crucified, he said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." It was not the treatment that he personally received so much that hurt him as it was that the truth and the ability to have eternal life was rejected. And that's what hurt him most. Those of us that haven't made the decision to be baptized, that's your decision you have to make. Was all this worth it? Sorry, no thanks. I got other things I want to do. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Those of us that have made that decision to be baptized, it's not a one-time decision. It's a decision we have to make every day. When we first wake up in the morning, what am I going to do? In Hebrews, in the 6th chapter, in the 6th verse, it likens to us to have, when we know better and we sin, we crucify him anew. So we're faced with that question. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Do I crucify him anew? Or do I crown him? Do we crucify him by rejecting parts of his doctrine? Saying, "I don't like that part"? Do we say, "Well, I'd like to do this or that. I don't agree with this part"? What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? That's the gift that the Lord has given us when that child was born. That's the whole purpose that child was, when Jesus was born, it was his whole purpose was to die on that cross, to set the example, to break the bonds of death, that we can have the opportunity to get back in the presence of God. When he died, the veil of the temple was rent in two. There was no more holy of holies. There was no more division between God and man. We had an avenue. We had the opportunity to talk with God, to pray. We had the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to talk to us directly and say, "Do this, do that." And it was all for each one of us. It's not for the other guy. It was for them too, but it's for us. Each one of us. Let's take advantage of that opportunity. Let's crown him every morning when we wake up. Say our prayer, saying, "Lord, help me to do what's right. Help me to be the example you have me to be. Help me to have you as my king, as my sovereign, as my Lord." Basically, it's like we did this morning. We renewed our covenant to God when we took that bread and wine. It's no different than we should do every day. That we're witnessing that we're always willing to follow God, no matter what. Thank you for your time. Have a happy Easter.
Thank you, Bobby. We'll use number 136 for our closing song. Let's stand and sing.
Free.